All right. Great to see your smiling faces again. Good morning. Hallelujah. I like that. Everyone say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Man, that just makes me feel energized today. Hallelujah. I like that. We can just say that all morning. We are on our series, Powerful People, still. Last week, we talked about the fact that powerful people are thankful people. How did you work? We gave you some homework this week to kind of bump up a notch. Like, if you would rank yourself as being a thankful or grateful person, maybe you'd rank yourself as like on a scale of 1 to 10. Maybe you're a 3. Maybe you're just not very good at it. You know, did you get to a 3.5 this week? Did you think about it at all? Did you bump it? I did. I did think about it, and I caught myself a couple times being a little grumbly mumbly. Right? Anyone ever get the grumble mumbles? Yeah. Thank you for being honest, because I know you do, because I've heard you. Just saying. I'm like, all right, Lord, who's going to lie? Who are we striking down today? Because they're going to be lying. I'm kidding. Take a breath. You feel like you're waiting for me to say something bad. So last night we were driving around in Fargo, and we were trying to get out of town a little bit early so that it wasn't an all-night deal, and we were kind of getting some stuff for the Christmas program today and picking up a few things of our own. And it was the end of the night, so we were going to grab a Little Caesar's pizza, which we love, and we had brought our own pops with because we're frugal, and be prepared. We got plates, napkins, right? We're going to head home. And so we have kind of a routine, Starbucks and Little Caesar's. So we go to Starbucks first, and the drive-thru is closed. And the inside's open, and there's a great big banner. We're open, but the door's locked. And so I don't know. I'm just kind of a country guy. I don't really know that much. How do you say you're open, but you're not really open? So apparently you have to have an app or something. I don't really understand all this stuff. So we tried to call them. They wouldn't answer their phone. So we went to a different Starbucks. So that was on the other side of town. So we had to go get Little Caesars. We're like, we'll do that on the way. And so we jump in the Little Caesars line of cars, which was all the way around the block. And this is like 7:45 or something like that. I'm like, okay, I guess everyone's hungry for pizza on a Friday night. And I caught myself. I thought about all of you guys, and I thought, I'm going to be honest with them guys today. Got a little grumbly. But I caught it, and I'm like, you know what, preacher? We got to practice what we preach here. And other than that, I've had a couple times that have actually been on the other side where I've been more grateful, more aware of my blessings during this week. So I feel like I've bumped up at least a half a point or so. And so I actually finished my grumble and told Barney, I said, who would have thought? So it took like an hour and a half to get pizzas to go and Starbucks to go. Yeah, right? And so I said, yeah, first world problems, right? And in that moment, I didn't say it out loud to Marnie, but in that moment, I just took a number of minutes to be thankful. And so as I was driving down the road, as I was letting the leftovers of my grumble settle, my heart was doing well because I'm like, God, I need to be full of gratitude. Like, that's not who I want to be. I think if we were honest, most of us don't want to be that person, that grumble mumble person. And I know God doesn't want us to be that. In fact, he's very clear about that's not who we're to be. So last week, we started walking through this, and I thought it was a one-off, but I just didn't get to where I wanted to get to. And so we're going to do a really quick review, and you are all saying, yeah, right. So quick review, and hit some new stuff today. We hit these verses. I'm not going to read this end, but look at the end here. Verse 10, this is in Colossians chapter 1. So that you might live a life worthy. Say worthy.
Worthy.
And please the Lord. Say please.
Please.
Our actions can please the Lord. Our attitudes can please the Lord. The next verse in that section says this, that you would bear fruit in every good work, grow in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Stephen said this, something this morning, and He was actually just quoting my article, but he was saying, you matter. You matter. Nudge your neighbor. Say, you matter. You matter. Your contribution to the kingdom of God matters. And I was reading this verse this morning, just kind of reviewing material, and this just jumped off the page. You have been qualified. You have been qualified. You. Jerry. Jason. John. Hey, that was three J's. That was good. Alliteration. Adam. Andrew. Look at it. There it is again. I don't know anymore. But you've been, like all of you, if you believe, if you receive the free gift of Jesus Christ, if you believe in his name, you've been qualified. You're qualified to share in the inheritance. You're qualified. Jesus did the work. He qualified you. You're qualified to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. So what these verses are talking about is in response to being qualified, let's live that life that's worthy of that qualification, right? Let's do the things that are kingdom things. Let's have the attitudes that are kingdom attitudes. Let's walk so that we can live vibrant, thriving, power-filled lives, right? So these are touch points from the previous verse, that we would be bearing fruit, that our lives would be fruitful, growing in the knowledge of God, that we'd be increasing, that we'd be strengthened with all power. Anyone ever feel weak? How about this last one? Having great endurance and patience. Has anyone ever just in your walk with God, and I know you would maybe never say this out loud, but you ever feel like, God, I don't know if I can keep doing this. You know, maybe not abandoning Jesus, but just life gets hard sometimes. Has everyone ever felt like you could use a shot of endurance? We talk about energy drinks. They don't really make endurance drinks, right? Like that last 2 months. You know, but this is the will of God. It brings pleasure to Jesus for you to have endurance. And I just loved that revelation that we kind of teased out of here last time. So all of this happens in the environment of joyful gratitude. So I would say that if you feel like you're struggling, just hang with me. If you feel like you're struggling in any of these areas, do you feel like your life is fruitful? Do you feel like you're growing in the knowledge of God? Do you feel like that you are, would you describe your life as being filled with power and strong? Do you feel like you are running the race with endurance and faithfulness? If you feel like there's a crack in any of those, if you feel like you would not be a 10 out of 10 in any of those, then check the environment of your life. Check the environment. Is it an environment of joyful gratitude? Because that is richness. Thankfulness conditions the soil of our hearts to produce the right kind of fruit. It prepares our heart to be in the right kind of place for those things of strength and power to grow in our lives. So if you're walking around with the grumble mumbles, we're going to grow weeds in our life. Amen? You don't believe me. Two of you do, but trust me, it's true. So we need to be thankful, because it pleases the Lord. All right, so this was another verse from last time. I know I'm going fast, but we got a bunch of new stuff. So continue to live him. This is the same kind of thing. Rooted, built up, strengthened. I love that all of these power, strength, victorious living words, and as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness, they're all presented in this environment, in this attitude, in this context of our hearts being thankful. And I think so often we as Christ followers, we miss the power of thankfulness. It's something we talk about at Thanksgiving, right? It's something that maybe once in a while you kick your kid, say thank you, right? Where's your manners, right? But cultivating a lifestyle of thankfulness yields strength. Cultivating a lifestyle of thankfulness yields strength, according to the Word of God. So second thing, so it pleases the Lord, it produces strength and good fruit in our lives, and and this seems bizarre, but it promotes good mental health. So this is Romans chapter 1, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, listen to this, nor gave thanks. This is the Romans 1, this is the kind of the downfall of the degrading of humanity, right? And we love to jump on these verses, but we always skip over this part about giving thanks. Like part of the degrading process, part of the going downhill was not being thankful. That is just bizarre to me. But in their thinking, so they didn't give thanks, but then their thinking became futile or useless or worthless. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. And I've got one more verse that I didn't share last time that's a little further down the line. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. They become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. The human mind, on its own, see, we weren't built to operate on our own. We were built to be plugged into a power source. We were built to have that center in our life. We are built to worship, though. So if we're not worshiping God, often we tend to worship ourselves. And let me tell you, I don't know you that well, but you make a terrible God. I'm just saying, even if I don't know you that, I'm confident. I can know nothing else about you and know that you are miserable at being a God, right? It's not what we're built for. And we end up worshiping ourselves. And, well, I would never do that. And if we could pick that apart, which we won't, we do. We tend to have self-worship. And what that ends up doing is it gets our minds in a messed up place. Bad things happen when we don't worship God. A healthy mind is often a thankful mind. Again, it keeps us from being, we won't talk about it much today, but it keeps us from being pulled into entitlement. It keeps us from having bad identities. It just, like, being thankful is just a safeguard for that. I wrote this out. Being grateful each day is like taking a vitamin for your mind. It's just this infusion of the right kind of things, right? Now, if you wanted to go out and run a marathon, if you take 2 vitamin C's today, like, it's probably not going to help you much, right? But if you're not taking any vitamins, you are more susceptible to be broken down and to be in a bad condition. So what I'm saying is, it's not magic, and yet it's required really for the right kind of environment that we're meant to operate in to be strong and filled and healthy. We still need to train. We still need to do the things to live victorious lives. And yet, thankfulness is this, it's like the vitamins for our mind, for our mental health, being thankful. Here's the start of the new content today. You're going to either, depending on your personality, you're either going to enjoy this or you're going to roll your eyes at this. But you guys know what, not this part, the next part. Do you guys know, have you ever heard the term common grace? Common grace. It's kind of like, it's the verse in the Bible that says, God causes the rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. You can be the most scoundrelly, I don't think that's a word, but you can be the most dastardly scoundrel in the whole bunch, and yet God will cause rain to fall on you. That's what we call common grace. Breath in your lungs, that only comes from God. Life only comes from God. And so you can be, your life could, you could, you know, whatever, be a terrible person, and yet receiving what theology calls common grace, receiving benefits from the Lord. And so one of the things is the laws of God often operate with common grace. They operate even to a lesser extent outside of the church even. And the laws of thankful, I remember when I was in, gosh, probably just like a teenager, I remember reading articles about businesses, secular businesses, non-Christian businesses that would give away income. And just give it away. Because they noticed that something happened in their businesses. Read articles about this. And I was just kind of, I'm sure, Jim, you've run into those over the years where we just hear these stories of people that they would come to Christ to get saved, and they would come into the church and they would hear about tithing. And they'd be like, we already know this. We already know this from our business background, that we found this weird thing that would happen when we would give at a certain percent, things would start happening in our favor. And it's this principle of tithing, you know, giving to the Lord. You know, we believe that tithing goes to the local church, and then offerings above that to, you know, to go to other ministries or to help the needy or the poor. You know, Jim and Kathy up in your ministry in Watford City. But that the results can happen even outside of a walk with Jesus Christ. Thankfulness is one of those things as well. So that's what our next section is. It's kind of a glimpse into common grace. It's a scientific. The scientific benefits of gratitude. These all have studies that go with them, and I promise you'll be annoyed with me by the time we're done with these. So just real quick, just in secular studies, right? Just out in the world, here's what happens when you're thankful, when you're grateful, when you operate in thankfulness. It opens the door to relationships. There was a study in 2014 showing that people that just the act of, in their interaction with a new person, if one time at least in that whole conversation they said thank you to that person, they were more likely to become friends. And you guys are going, wait, we need to study to know that, right? Like, if you're a person with manners, like, people might want to be your friend. I know some of this you're just like, gosh, really? We need to fund a study to figure this out. But I'm just sharing with you data that I've run across, and there's actually a lot of it, but we're not going to share a lot of it. But they found just tons of stuff on the benefits of being grateful. You make more friends. People like to be with you. Smile and nod. Think about how much you've grumbled in the last week and why you can't get someone to pick up the phone. I'm just saying. It improves physical health. In a 2012 study, people experience fewer aches and pains and report feeling healthier than other people in that took place in this particular study. You guys would be amazed at the amount of restraint, because I wanted a slide or two on every study from these, because I find stuff like this fascinating. And so let's just all thank Jesus this morning that I had self-control to pull back so we can go through these a little more quickly. But studies are just showing that physically, aches and pains and joints feeling better, right? Just from the act of being grateful, keeping a gratitude journal or telling someone verbally that you're thankful for something or listing off where you're counting blessings during the day causes, and actually found all kinds of studies from that later on. It improves psychological health. Now, this one I'm going to put a slide up there for. I didn't have that much self-control. Gratitude reduces a multitude of toxic emotions from envy and resentment to frustration and regret. Robert Emmons, a leading gratitude researcher, has conducted multiple studies on the link between gratitude and well-being, especially emotional and mental well-being. His research confirms that gratitude effectively increases happiness and reduces depression. It's not rocket science, right? Now, this guy is studying the science of it, and he's putting it in medical papers. But just from being alive and being a human, we know that when we tend to be grateful, we tend to be happier. Gratefulness, gratitude, thankfulness, it's protection for our mind. It keeps our mind in a good place. The next one is it enhances empathy and reduces aggression. It's kind of a weird one, but this is a 2012 study by the University of Kentucky. It's people become less likely to retaliate, to get back, to get even, even when they've been given negative feedback. Your boss is like, all right, you're not doing a good job and whatever and whatever. People that are grateful tend to not lash out. They tend not to be as aggressive in return. And how much does that help? Do you feel that in 2020 that John Q. Public could use a dose of empathy? Oh my gosh, it's vicious out there, right? Can you take 30 seconds and just think of someone else, right? Can you think of the struggle that they might be going, even if you just despise everything about them, and not that you would, because you're Christ followers, right? We're not despising people, right? But can we at least care about people? So being grateful increases empathy. Grateful people sleep better. I'm going to put this, this is a freshie this morning. I just added this one because I just couldn't leave it off. In a study of 186 patients, more grateful people reported better sleep, less fatigue, less depression, more confidence in their ability to care for themselves, and lower levels of systemic inflammation, which is an immune response that can have negative effects on the body, including the cardiovascular system. Patients who did daily gratitude journaling for 8 weeks also showed decreased markers of inflammation at the end of the experiment. There was pages of this stuff this morning, and I'm like, help me, Lord. They need to hear this. And he's like, no, they don't. But I'm like, but I want them to. So I wanted to just share all kinds of stuff. But medically verifiable changes happen in our body and mind that have been documented by the act of simply having gratitude. Taking time to daily maybe just fill out half a sentence in a journal. I'm grateful today for. At our home, we've got a gratefulness jar. Right? If it's something that you're thankful for today, you just write it down and you pop it in the jar. We did this, I think it was last year. Is that when we took the old jar and read all the ones? Yeah, kind of a blessing jar or whatever over the years. And we had it going all the way back to when the kids were little. And we dumped them out and we read them. And man, there was tears. We're like, Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Oh, I forgot that God did that. Oh, I forgot about that blessing in her life. Oh, wow. Thank you, Jesus. And we just had this overwhelming moment where just through the years, just little snippets that we stuffed in a jar and mom, because she's so amazing, just tucked that away on a shelf over the years. And so we were able to get a snapshot back into our history of little God moments, what God came through, what we were thankful for that week and that day. And I'll tell you what, guys, it is life-giving. There is life in thankfulness. There's life in gratitude. I don't know if you tune out on everything else I say today, there is life in gratitude. There's life in being thankful. There's richness in it. There's energizingness in it. It was easier for people to honor others. A 2014 study by the Journal of Applied Sports Psychology studied the athletes that were grateful, that had marked gratefulness in their lives. It was easier for them to be team players. It was easier for them when someone else got the position or someone else, like, and we know that makes sense. I'm just telling you that science tells you that your hunch is right. Like, if you're a grateful person, it just makes common sense that you're like, God, I'm so thankful that I get to be on the team even, and that we get to, you know, play this week or whatever. And, oh, Jimmy got the quarterback position. Oh, I really think I should have had that. But, like, I'm great, right? Right? It's just common sense. And yet science is telling us that your hunch is correct. Grateful people have a better time in life, and they were able to navigate that easier. So the last one, this is the last one. Gratitude increases mental strength. 2006 study in behavior research and therapy, it studied war veterans, and it showed that veterans that were grateful had lower rates of PTSD, and that it was also, they did some research on the people that survived the 9/11 attacks, and the people that practiced gratitude on a regular basis had a hugely decreased traumatic effect from that. And so I just want to challenge you today that science backs the word of God up. And I love it that when that happens, I love when we see the correlation. So this is another verse. We're moving on. No more science. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances." Marnie read this one last week. "For this is God's will for you." All right. For those of you that grew up in a more legalistic setting, this one's for you. God says, be thankful, right? If you need someone to spell it out and just say, all right, what am I supposed to do? Here's that verse for you guys this morning. For those of you that just need a commandment, God is commanding you to be thankful. It's the will of God. This is God's will. I just don't know what the will of the Lord is for my life. Well, start off with giving thanks in all circumstances. Let me know when you've got that one done, and then we'll work on the rest. Right? Aren't you grateful that it doesn't work that way? So it promotes good mental health. Fourth one is, it's God's will for your life. It's just the will of God. All right, two more slides of a longer verse here, and I want you to see this. This is, again, in Colossians. Colossians is full of thankfulness. Colossians 3, 15 and 16 says this, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." One more. This is still in that same section. "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Now I'm going to put this up there. This is all the whole section in smaller writing, you could see the highlighted parts just in this one little chunk of scripture. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Have gratitude. Be thankful. Let your hearts be thankful. And I love, let it dwell among you richly, kind of as you're working through what you do, as you're singing to God, and whatever you do. What does whatever mean? Whatever, right? Anything you do, whether in word or deed, that pretty much covers it all. Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thankfulness should be a marker of our lives. So it's God's will for your life, and then it's a lifestyle. There's a big difference about being thankful for something and living a life of gratitude. There's a big difference between filling out a thankfulness journal, right? That's an act. And then letting that act permeate your being and becoming a person of gratitude. I don't know if you, do you see that? One is something we do, which is a pathway to something that we become. And a lifestyle that's wrapped up in Thanksgiving. See, Thanksgiving is one of our accesses to the presence of God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So as we're giving thanks, the act is part of our worship, right? And it's part of coming into God's presence. We know that scripturally from the Word of God. But also, the becoming of a grateful person invites that presence of God into our very lives. You know, I love going to church on Sunday, but it just seems like by Monday afternoon, I'm struggling. It seems like on Wednesday mornings, I just got this coworker. It seems like Thursday night, my family's a mess. I just wish I could feel that same presence of God, right? How many times over the years have we had that conversation? And I love corporate worship, and it is just imperative. But how many times have we just, we're missing out, and part of that is walking out this practice of thankfulness because it's an invitation to the Holy Spirit. It's an invitation to the presence of God. It's attractive to God's presence. When we put up the beacon of thankfulness, the presence of God is attracted to that. God begins to enter into the mundane. Yes. Right? As you are wrapping presents, as you are cutting vegetables, as you are folding laundry. Stephen shared a testimony about just kind of worshiping God, folding laundry a few weeks ago. As you're doing mundane things, as you're driving to work, as you're filling out reports, doing that with an attitude of thankfulness. See, it's not about Sunday mornings. It's about a life of worship to God. It's not about kingdom of God just when I die to go to heaven. It's about kingdom of God invading our lives right now. And how do I do that? One of the ways, one of the vehicles, one of the tools is becoming a person of gratitude. And I think so often we get the Thanksgiving message and then maybe once through the year and then a couple other times we're like, we need to be thankful for this, right? And we're like, yep, amen. And we kind of lose, like it falls through the cracks being grateful. So challenge you with that. A couple quotes, and then I'm really excited to end up with one last thing today. This is from G.K. Chesterton. I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought. And that, I love this line, that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. Gratitude and thankfulness is this, I'm happy, and yet I'm standing in amazement at my blessings. I'm watching, and I'm looking, and I'm becoming aware of the goodness of God in my life. And so I'm not just happy about it. I'm happy and I'm like, oh. We all need a little bit more of the awe and wonder of God. How many times do we go through a day and we have not had one moment? Too many days we get through without being mesmerized by the awe and wonder of God and what he's done in our lives. And I promise you, if you infuse every day with those moments, I promise you're going to see the world different. You're going to feel different. You're going to have different experiences. Gratitude starts to shape who we are as people. A couple more quotes. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And if you don't know who he is, powerful, powerful story. Gratitude changes the pangs of memory into tranquil joy. You can go through bad stuff. Guess what percentage of you are going to go through bad things? 100. Yep, it's a given. It's a promise. It's one of those promises from Scripture that we don't see on bumper stickers. Jesus promised that you would have tribulation. We never see that one plastered on our fridges, right? That's a promise from God, though. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have persecution. It's going to be bad days, right? We're living in a fallen world until the new heaven and new earth. That's going to be part of life. And gratitude takes those painful memories that we have, Bonhoeffer is saying, and when you infuse those memories that cause that twinge of pain in you, instead of just grieving that, in our gratitude, we can say, all right, thank you, God, that I survived that. Thank you that I walked through that. Thank you that I'm still going. Thank you that I learned this. Thank you that I'm a different person because of this. Thank you that I carry those lessons with me now. Thank you that I'm, right? And it turns it into, as he says, tranquil joy. Doesn't mean that we wouldn't rather not go through them, but we know we're going to. So gratitude softens the edges on those. And then he said this. This is my jumping off point here. In ordinary life, we hardly realize that we receive a great deal more than we give. And it's only with gratitude that life becomes rich. Think of the message of gratitude. We said this last time, especially in 2020, right? There's a lot for you guys to be pouty about. I get it. But there's a lot to be grateful about. The power of gratitude in this season that we're in right now, I'm telling you guys, listen to me if you don't hear anything else. It's going to be a safeguard for your soul. You've got to not get caught up in the angst and the anxiety of the moment, and you've got to dig your roots in to Jesus and be grateful. And I'm not talking about just digging in and just being angry at the world. Digging in with an attitude of gratitude, with an attitude of thank, with recognizing the blessings of the Lord. The more grateful we become, the richer we are. That's what this quote is saying. And who ever thought in America we would be grateful about being able to gather for church? Who ever thought that we'd be grateful to go sit down in a restaurant? Right? It's the little things that all of a sudden aren't such little things anymore. And gratitude keeps our heart in a place like, wow, whoa, oh, yeah. Instead of, oh, it keeps our eyes on the right thing. Gratitude changes how you see life. closing with this, hang on. Watch that. The Sapir-Whorf hypothesis. That one. When I read this, just geek out with me for just a second. Okay? Just like we're just about done, right? You can kind of like after Thanksgiving, you loosen your pants a little bit, kind of just like, well, you know, like we're landing the plane. But I'm getting on the off ramp with this thought. There's been multiple studies done on linguistics, okay? And every single culture, they have the first words that they have for colors are black and white. Everyone across the board, unequivocally. Black and white are always first. When you find ancient writings, black and white are the first words for colors that show up. And then there's no other words for colors. Yellow is always the next one. Okay? No, red, sorry. Red is always the next one. Yellow and green then are after that, and they're interchangeable in some cultures. But first, second, and third are always the same. It's always black and white first, and it's always red next. And then sometimes it's green and sometimes it's yellow. Okay? Very few ancient writings contain the word for blue. And I just found this fascinating. Blue comes along. We didn't have oranges in the English language until the fruit showed up. I've always wondered why the color orange and the fruit are the same word. It's because that's what we didn't have a word for that. There was no word for orange. It was yellow red. Right. But now we've got an orange and someone's like, hey, this looks the same as yellow red. There are people like me, gifts for local kids. Orange. One of my relatives definitely named Orange Orange. But blue doesn't show up. Even though there's blue water and blue sky, we don't see the word for blue very often. Here is the Sapir-Whorf hypothesis. They've done all these studies. They find that cultures and people groups that have words for a particular color physiologically end up seeing that color more. They've done tests where, like, say a group has, like, the example that I read was They had some were Russians and some were in another group, and I don't remember the other group. And they one group has a very specific word for, I think it was either a gray or a green, and it was a lighter shade. And so they did all these circles, and they had all these circles that were, let's just say green. And then there was like a gray-green triangle that was really close to the same shade, and it was implanted in a few of those circles. And like at an alarming rate, the groups that had the word for gray-green or whatever it was, they saw all of those. They could see them. And they did this test over and over and over again. And the cultures that didn't have a word, all the circles looked the same to them. And over, they keep finding that when you have language for something, it actually changes your physiology. Ugh, I like this kind of stuff. Oh, man. Just that the power of our words to change, to affect our physiology blows my mind. How much do you think the language of gratitude would play a part in your life? It is just incredible to me. Let me back up to this. Gratitude changes how you see life. Physiologically, once you become grateful, you start seeing blessings everywhere. Your level of gratitude is an influencer in your awareness of God moments and of spiritual sensitivity. Let me just go to this next one as well. It's difficult to increase your level of thankfulness and also not see an increase in your awareness of God's work in your life and your world around you. That's what I want to end with. When we increase gratitude, all of a sudden, coincidentally, we start having more God moments. The color blue was around all the time. People didn't start seeing it until they came up with a word for it. Right? Scientifically proven that when you've got a word for it, you start seeing it. Like it changes the physiology of your eyes and how you see life. Now think about when we start having words of gratitude. Think about when we start being grateful. Think about when we stop taking things for granted. Think about the increase in the quality of our relationships. Think about the occurrence of God moments in our life. If you want to be powerful people, powerful people are walking through this life not taking moments for granted. They're not victims. They're not entitled. They're not grumbly. Powerful people are victorious because they're walking in gratitude. They're seeing God opportunities because they're aware of them, because they're thankful for the moments that they get. I want to be a thankful person. I want to have my eyes open to what God's doing. How often do we just miss? We just miss it. Our eyes are so focused on the stuff going wrong in our life and on me instead of on the beauty of the world around us and on God. We're focused on the problem and not on Jesus. And gratitude keeps our eyes lifted up. It's a practical way to lift our eyes up. It's a practical way to see God moving. I mean, if I'm thankful, you know, for Adam, man, I'm praying for him. If my heart has gratitude, like for our relationship, I'm excited when good things happen in his life, yeah. Right? Like I recognize when God's moving and doing things, and I'm able to encourage him into those kind of things. When I'm excited about his life and grateful for it, God begins to do, coincidentally, more things. It's because God wanted to do those things all along, and some of those things God's doing all along. And when we recognize it, when we're grateful, we begin to recognize it. So, ending with that, let's pray real quick. God, we just thank you for this discipline of gratitude, and we just pray this morning that you would help us to become people of appreciation, of gratitude, of thankfulness, God, that would be the tool that helps turn our eyes to Jesus and help keep the kingdom of God advancing in our life. And we just thank you for the power of God that you want to pour out in our lives. And we just pray a blessing over these people today, pray a blessing over our kids program today, over the practice, and give people a great week in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.